Please join me in prayer. God, our great creator, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So during college, all four of my summers, I lived and worked in Yellowstone. And during that first season in particular, I did not have a particularly good experience, and I didn't feel very welcome with the communities that I was living in and the people that I was surrounded by. And that included the ministry team that I volunteered with for those first two summers. Part of that was that I was an outlier politically and theologically in this group of 12 or 14 of us. And we made it hard to build any kind of common ground just in building our connections as individuals on the team. Because I knew I was the one who didn't fit, I made myself smaller and quieter, making sure that I didn't rock the boat or actually express my opinions fully. I isolated myself because I just never really felt included or welcomed, and it was a way to keep myself safe. But with the ministry that I was a part of, there are communities around the park of support people who live in the local communities and have been tied to this volunteer ministry in some way or another and have also volunteered to be support for those young people in the park. And so they spend that full season, you know, offering opportunities to get out of the park or bringing picnics after Sunday worships and just making sure that young people feel supported. So for each of those four summers that I was in Yellowstone, there's a family, a single family, that offered that kind of support for all 45, 20-somethings in the park. And they've been doing that support work for a number of years, long before I came to Yellowstone, and they are continuing to do that today. And what they do is they open their house, they share meals. I can't tell you how many times I watched them throw in the extra table leaf or two or three and pull out the extra card tables just to make sure that everyone had a seat for dinner, unplanned, unscripted, and invited us into their family. They planned fun events and outings like hikes and trail rides and ATV opportunities. And in my case, they let me take their horses out whenever I needed to just go ride. So everywhere that I lived in the park, in Old Faithful Village, in Canyon Village, in Lake Village, these were all locations that were at least an hour drive away from where this family lived at the north entrance in Gardner. So particularly during that first summer when I felt so isolated and disconnected from my team and from all of my coworkers, it was this family and their generous attitudes of support and hospitality that kept me in the park. And you could argue that that was also the same reason that I kept going back to the park, even when the first season was not the kind of resounding success that you would expect to inspire a return. What they did in opening their house and inviting me into their family and loving me, in a sense, they became a sanctuary for me, physically and emotionally, in a way that I couldn't generate for myself. What I experienced in different ways throughout all of those summers was in large part related to social isolation, right? Those feelings of loneliness and being left out and disconnected. And we know that social isolation is a growing issue in our culture, in our time, and that loneliness compounds then into other problems. And there are so many factors in our lives that can lead to that social isolation and loneliness. And Mary and Elizabeth, both in their own ways, live into those senses of isolation. Elizabeth is, at this point, an older woman who had never been pregnant and never had a child, and therefore carrying the public shame of not being able to live into that most basic of duties that women in her society were expected to be able to perform. And on the opposite side of that, we have Mary, who is a young woman who is unmarried and now carries the opposite social shame of being pregnant outside of marriage. And it is through relationship with one another that God has created space for both of these women to be blessed and to be supported. They both experience God speaking directly to them as individuals to express the profound experience of their path to becoming pregnant and the call and the sacredness of these children that they carry. At the moment that they encounter one another in this greeting, God is moving fully and freely in and through them, moving so much that the child in Elizabeth carries responds to the child that Mary carries. This child leaps in her womb, recognizing what is within Mary. And they find one another in the only other person that they could encounter with the ability to relate to and to validate the wholeness of their lives and the sacredness of their encounters with God's angel, Gabriel. Luke 1 tells us that Elizabeth is in seclusion, and just before this, her husband has lost his ability to speak, which would have added to her experience of isolation. And although we can only speculate, it is also possible that Elizabeth has experienced miscarriages, one more complicating factor that likely compounds her experience of judgment and loneliness. And Mary, on the other hand, would have faced disapproval and worse for being pregnant outside of marriage. She may have sought refuge from her community in order to hide her pregnancy or to avoid its social consequences. But at the end of the day, it is in each other that Mary and Elizabeth find a relationship full of grace and full of connection that is free from judgment. What we come to know, and what so many of us have likely known in some way or another, is that relationships grow from shared or from similar experiences. While Elizabeth's pregnancy would lift her shame, Mary's would bestow shame. And yet, both of them have experienced these miraculous encounters and miraculous pregnancies. Elizabeth not only provided refuge from community disapproval, but she was also someone who could celebrate the pregnancy as God's work. And if you consider your own relationships in your lives now, how many of those people that you would categorize as close are those people that you have had similar experiences to? Those people who just get it. We don't need to have the same exact experience as one another, and we can't have the same exact experience as one another for our relationships with them to be life-giving. Instead, what we can find is solidarity and empathy, and the sanctuary or the safety of just that is what Mary and Elizabeth found in one another. Sanctuary involves the acceptance of others' experiences as their own. Elizabeth does not jump in with offering Mary unsolicited advice and guidance in navigating her pregnancy. She does not offer those weird pregnancy craving snacks that she developed or ask to touch her belly. These two women have approached each other with no agendas, and they are simply present with one another. And their meeting is a milestone in this emotional journey for both of them. Mary's visit broke into Elizabeth's isolation and led her to express awe and joy. And that is the balance that we seek to strike in our own relationships of presence, of nurturing, of empathy. We live into our relationships and we generate that spaciousness in our knowing of one another. But once in a while, and this might be familiar to you, we can get so caught up in the day-to-day of what's happening in our own lives that we get so fixated on what's going on that we lose sight of what we need to do in order to maintain those close relationships that are so essential. Often we need someone else to bring insight into our own experiences that allows for the room to transform our understanding of what it is we might be facing. How often have you had somebody offer a different perspective and you're like, oh, of course. But that requires that we remain open to interruption. And in this world and society where we are actively encouraged by the powers that be, shaped by wealth and profit, to separate ourselves and our experiences from one another, community is disrupted. After all, when our sense of community is dismantled, those corporations and billionaires wildly increase their profit margins. What do we do then to live into those relationships and connections that God calls us into? And how do we nurture that willingness in ourselves to make space for God to move in our lives, to bring down those barriers that we make on purpose in aims of isolating and protecting ourselves? Perhaps we visit the folks that we haven't seen in a while, friends or family, church members, folks that we expect are lonely, and we intentionally develop relationships that go beyond the seasonal or annual holiday visits. Or maybe we volunteer to work with people facing isolation and lonely experiences, like those in hospice or who are unhoused. And what happens when we start to take those steps? We choose then to engage with and embrace God's activity in the world and through creation. And we are invited to experience the joy in that encounter. When I lived in Yellowstone, this family that invited me into their home and into their lives, in so many ways are the reason that I stayed through my full contract that first summer and why I went back for another 3 summers after a pretty bad first experience. And I was not the only young person that they invited into their family and into their home that first year that I was in the park. There were 3 of us who showed up most days for most of the summer for our own reasons and our own bad experiences. But we all joked together that we had been adopted by this family. Were they perfect? No. Were they wholeheartedly welcoming of everyone, regardless of race or gender or sexuality or all of those differences? No. Did they still do their best? Absolutely. When I lived in Yellowstone, what kept me safe, and not just from the bears, and what kept me coming back were the people who didn't allow for me to remain isolated. So what does it mean for the church to be that place? The place where everyone can find meaningful relationships and community, a place where companionship might develop, where everyone would be welcome, regardless of the situations that we may find ourselves in and facing. What would it take to get there, to be that community and to be that church? And are we willing to do the work of making room for the complexities of all that people's lives entail? It starts from requiring us not to yield to fear, and to realize that sometimes those wild ideas might be something that we test and perhaps come to trust more often. But in doing so, we come to a place of recognizing that trying things differently, of rooting ourselves in the joy of relationship, of not allowing for isolation, in doing so, we open ourselves to those possibilities of the ways that God is moving through us and through each other. Amen.